مفهوم مراقبة. مراقبة is defined as to wait, to anticipate. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, you can consider that he is authority, founder of this tariqah of muraqabah. And muraqabah in essence is a method of doing dhikr. It is a method of doing dhikr. And this, with regards to dhikr, it is a pure tariqah method of dhikr. And he explained this afterwards, after Hazrat Junaid. All the silsila of Naqshbandi order, he made it lazim, essential for those after him. And that's why our mashaykh, our pious elders write that the salik, in other words, the student of tasawwuf, he is called the salik. The person who wants to gain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through dhikr. So he is termed the salik, the student, the traveler. So the salik, what he wants, or what she wants, in other words, men and women are both equal in this. Not that it's just for the men folk, the tasawwuf. Rather, the women folk, the sisters, go beyond and higher than the men in status. So the point is just on the heart. Whose heart is more clean and pure? So that individual who desires, who wants that Allah is close to him, that he is close to Allah, and he has the love of Allah, then he should have deep love for Allah. Deep love for Allah. A lot of love for Allah. So that individual, our Mashaykh Naqshband, our pious elders have stated that there are three methods for this, to get this, that the pious elders have selected. Yes, they are the consultants, aren't they? They are the leaders, they are the experts, the consultants of the tasawwuf. And they have selected three ways, three methods to gain this conclusion of the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have mentioned three tariqas, methods that is lazim, essential for any student first to adopt these three ways. For example, I want that I go to Allah's qurb, I attain Allah's nearness, then I have to do these three things. Definitely, if I do this, I will find the nearness, and I'll find these three things if I go to a sheikh, to a teacher. So I need to do three things. And the first thing that I need, that is for tasawwuf, dhikrullah. First thing that you need to acquire, this is lazim, essential. The second thing that you need is muraqaba. This is the high class, high level of dhikr, high grade, you can say. And the third thing that you need is rabta sheikh, connection, relationship with the sheikh, the teacher. These three things are very important to travel on this journey, this path, as a salik, to gain the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A student of the tasawwuf should do these three things. Dhikrullah, second is muraqabah, and the third is rabta sheikh, connection with the teacher, relationship. The mashayikh have stated, our pious predecessors, pious sheikhs, have said that for the salik, all three things are very, very important. So even if he is weak, the student, in one of them, then he won't be able to attain the objective. So if you are weak in either of these three, one of these three, then you won't be successful. So this isn't just up to you, automatically you just sit down and you'll acquire this end. This is an ilm, a knowledge. It's a complete subject, just like you go to acquire ilm, knowledge, to bring your body onto the Sharia. So your batin, your soul, to bring it onto the Sharia, you need this ilm, this knowledge, all these factors, the ruh and the body. The soul and the body are the same, and both are controlled by the Sharia. So nothing is beyond or above the Sharia, is it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be a Sufi, so Sharia doesn't apply to me. No, both things, body and soul, are under the ban of the Sharia. The Sharia is to control the body, to give discipline to the body. You need Sharia. Where will you learn it? From the Darul Uloom, from the Madaris, from the institutes, the Shaykhul Hadith, the teachers who are selected, that are maintained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ruh, the soul, the spirit, to control it, to develop it, to give it energy, strength. Again, you have to go to the Sharia. So this Sharia is learnt and it is known by the Mashaykh Ikram, the pious sheikhs, the honorable sheikhs, and their department is different. It's quite a different department, an institute, but they both follow Sharia principles. So the other teachers, the other department, they'll teach you fiqh, jurisprudence, how to practice, halal, haram, lawful, unlawful, wudu, masail, ablution, salah, how to pray. And the other department, subject of sharia of the batin, of the soul, which is imposed, not controlled, which is imposed on a person. It is lazim for a person to learn this. That is also sharia. So through that, the soul is nurtured, improved. So then, these three things that I mentioned, the Mashayikh Ikram has said that you need these three factors, components. And if you are less in any of the three, if you are less in dhikr, or you are less in muraqabah, or you are lacking in the rabta of the sheikh, connection with the teacher, then you can't travel on that path. You won't arrive. So without these three components, you cannot succeed. You cannot function. And the most three of the three components is rabta sheikh, connection with the teacher. If you don't have the sheikh, obviously there will be no dhikr. If there's no dhikr, there will be no muraqabah. So they have their stages, their levels. Yes, the three components, you have to go step by step. Do you understand what I'm saying, my words? So you should have some knowledge, isn't it? A person should have some knowledge. What are we doing? What are we not doing? So during dhikr, some points come to my mind and I present them in your service. Maybe they'll be beneficial. That's why Allah Ta'ala puts them into my mind. Yes, because it's very hard for everybody to find these points and knowledge in the kitabs, the books, and we don't have the time for that. So alhamdulillah, it's best if somebody explains to us these parts, this knowledge. So for this reason, we do dhikr. Remembrance, that's why we do muraqabah, that's why we have rabta sheikh. The connection with it. First of all, you have to find a sheikh, seek a teacher, seek the guide. The sheikh, yes, like you go to Darul Uloom or schools, institutes, and you can apply and enroll and your studies start. And for example, you study, then at the end of the course, you sit in the Khatam of the Bukhari and you get the degree. Yes, the degree means that he's capable, he's learnt, he's studied. And if you go here, then in this department, this subject, you cannot just go to any institute that you want to go to. When you go there, you have to select the teacher to attain the ilm, this knowledge. Then there are some different conditions to be enrolled. And the condition to be enrolled is that you should have full faith on that teacher. Full belief. Because this journey, and to get to the destination, you need yaqeen, faith. So the more faith and belief complete you have in that teacher, the more fares and blessings you will acquire internally. If you don't have faith on the teacher, you don't have belief in the teacher, you have no desire, no draw attention towards him, you don't have any attraction to this teacher, you have many doubts in the teacher, you've got many question marks and weaknesses in your mind about the teacher, why? Then you're just wasting of your time. Then go and find some other source and do that. Yes? So this is not something that's appreciated, because it's your choice. It's your choice. So if shaitan shows you defects or gaps or cracks or wasawis start coming, negative thoughts, then it's waste of time, because it's not compulsory. This is wherever you will only go where you have love, and the love starts to increase. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So if you have a choice, you can see that this is the path, that you can only travel on this path with mutual love and affection. So first step, you need to see that my sheikh, my teacher, how much attraction do I have to him, how much love do I have to him, how much am I drawn near to him? And you'll know, not by words, by your tongue, but you have to accept it inside you, isn't it? By your soul. Your soul within you. Internally, you have to accept this. Your internal inside will tell you, yes, he's great. Oh, he's really great. So, when your heart attests to this and speaks this and says this, feels this, then in the company of the teacher, in the sohbat of the teacher, Allah's mercies will start to come down on that person, that salik, the student. Until you don't have the connection of the mind, and until the hearts are not connected, until your understandings aren't connected, overlap, meeting, if your ruh, your souls do not meet together, then there's no benefit. Then, what will happen? Your sheikh, according to his status and his position, and he will then prescribe dhikr to you. Second stage comes dhikr, isn't it? First is the connection with the teacher, the relationship, because you've got now belief in him and you have faith in him completely. And whatever dhikr then he gives to you, that will be the best path for you to get Allah's nearness. And it is not necessary that he gives dhikr to everybody the same dhikr. It will be different to different students. Different dhikr to different students. It could be different in the quantity, different in what's prescribed, different in the details. It's not necessary the same dhikr is prescribed to each person. The sheikh knows. So whatever the sheikh prescribes and gives to you, the salik, the student shouldn't compete with each other. What are you doing? What am I not doing? Again, this is disrespect. This word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what he gives to you, the dhikr to do, you just do your work. That's my method. This is my schedule, the way that I've been advised and prescribed. Secondly, the biggest, the most dangerous thing for the student, once he gets onto this, and which is strictly prohibited by the sheikh, and this stage, once you get to this stage, is to read the books, kitabs. Because at that time, the student, he was keen to find out the knowledge, and he knows many mashayikh, previous Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, he wrote the books, and many other sheikhs prior in history, they write the experiences in the kitabs, and because he was fond of this, he starts to read all the various books, and those books are like poison for the student in the beginning of his journey, to read them. To read them. Why? Because he will never then find the way that he needs to implement. So at that stage, initially, this ilm, zahiri ilm, for example, for the salik, it's very dangerous for him, the student, that knowledge in the kitabs, that at that stage. You will see the Hazrat Mawlana Rumi, rahmatullah, when he met his ustad, his teacher, his sheikh, then the first thing, he took his kitabs and threw them in the river. And Rumi said, "What's this? This all my lifelong studies is gone." Then himself afterwards he said, "Mawlana Rum would never have become Mawlana Rumi if I hadn't done this action that my sheikh had done and followed that." So at that time there's a barrier, restriction, reading the books and historical accounts and stories. This is very dangerous for the salih. At that time you should just do one thing, the dhikr that the sheikhs prescribed to you, just apply that. Implement that and make effort on that. And in this, the student could be a Shaykhul Hadith, he could be himself an Ustad of Tirmidhi Hadith, he could be Ustad of Maliki, Imam Mu'tah Malik, he could be Ustad of Fiqh jurisprudence, but now he is going to learn Tasawwuf, so then he has to follow all the principles of the department of Tasawwuf. Yeah, you will see this in history. This is proven. There's all big Imams, scholars, when they went to learn the ilm of tasawwuf, then as a student they present themselves to the sheikh and they have to accept the principles, the method. Just like a wali Allah, when he will go to learn the knowledge of kitabs in a madrasa, then he'll follow the principles there. He'll follow that discipline, he'll follow the principles in the Darul Uloom, then he can study Bukhari and Hadith. There his ilm, spiritual knowledge, internal knowledge will not run there. He cannot apply that. Only that what your ustad tells you. Same way when they come to learn this ilm of the soul, then their principles come forward, then it's a marifah and it's the principles of the teacher, the sheikh. You understand what I'm saying? Is it giving you benefit what I'm saying? Good. So in this now, dhikrullah. So dhikr is prescribed by the sheikh, the teacher, the guide. And after that, you come to the next component, which is our topic of this discussion, which is muraqabah. So after dhikr comes muraqabah. So why do we do muraqabah? And also this is a form of dhikrullah, muraqabah, but highest level, high grade. What's the difference between them? It's a question, isn't it? Yes, one person says, "I'm doing dhikr already, so why should I do this other method of dhikr, muraqabah?" Yes, there's a difference. So Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, who is the founder, authority of this method, And he initiated this, but not he. Allah Ta'ala has given this to him, the knowledge. Yes? Like through kashf, that you do this action now. So mostly the lessons in the Naqshbandi order that are given to, by the Shaykh, they are all given by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, obviously. Yes? Like up to Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, who's the Shaykh in this order. So at that point, the silsila stopped. The order stopped. It finished. And then it continued by Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Afthani, rahmatullahi, this order, Naqshbandi order. Yes? So before, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi is not connected to Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Afthani. So this silsila, that's why it's called Naqshbandiya Mujaddadiya, the order. Because half of the silsila is concerned with Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Afthani, rahmatullahi alayh. And all the lessons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Hazrat Shaykh Mujaddad Al-Afthani, rahmatullahi alayh. Right, so muraqabah is included in this way. What is the meaning of muraqabah? Dhikrullah, high grade. So they explained and described that after the salik works hard on dhikrullah, which is prescribed by the shaykh, the teacher, then Allah Ta'ala selected this method for the salik to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To get the reward. So the dhikr that you're doing is the likewise the same. That somebody, for example, is cultivating, he's like a farmer, he's growing something in the fields. For example, mango trees he's planted in the field, in the orchard. He wants to grow the mangoes from the mango tree. So he'll prepare the land, cultivate the land, put the seeds in. He'll work hard, toil, struggle. Then he'll work hard and make effort and toil. And then the tree grows big. When the tree grows big, then, and he's planted that, grown that tree, then he waits for the fruits. Yes, that the mangoes will grow and I will eat the mangoes. And when the time comes to eat the mangoes, then he'll sit back and relax and suck on the mangoes. He won't need to work hard and he'll say, the mangoes have come. Likewise, muraqabah, the salik, after doing dhikr, initially he waits for the fruits to develop of his efforts. And he waits, what fruits will come after my hard work that I've done in the form of dhikrullah? Yes? And then he says, let me see what fruit comes. So this fruit, to attain it, to acquire it, already we have cleaned our parts internally, our vessel. Yes, we've cleared it, we've purified it. What vessel? The latif qalb, ruh, sir, khafi, akhfa. These are the parts that we have cleaned already to acquire this. Why have we cleaned? For this reason, that we will receive the fruits in these parts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these locations. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Is it difficult to follow what I'm saying? Or no? In other words, that we have done dhikr on al-lataif, the parts of the body. Yes, on these parts we have made effort and we want to acquire the fruits that Allah Ta'ala will give to us. When it's time to us, then that's called muraqabah, is the method of asking. Because in muraqabah, the salik won't do any dhikr during muraqabah. That what we say, that do muraqabah, do dhikr. Actually, this is not muraqabah. It's called muraqabah of dhikrullah. Yes, it's in the form of dhikr. Now you're doing muraqabah. But the real muraqabah, the actual muraqabah, is, which is in your lesson, I think it starts after the 17th lesson, I think. So during muraqabah, you're not actually doing dhikr. You're just waiting. You're waiting. Your body is not doing any action of dhikr physically or nafis baath, or no, internally. It's not doing dhikr, not on the lataif, qalb or ruh. All of that, you just empty yourself and you just wait. And say, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Ramdai gave a beautiful example of this. He said that in muraqabah, the salik is like this, like a cat. He gave an example, a simple example, that when he's waiting for the mouse goes into the hole, hiding. So then in front of the hole, the cat, he sits there very cautiously, attentively, razor sharp, waiting that when the mouse comes out, I'll grab the mouse. Do you understand what I'm saying? Waiting attentively. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you see the cat says, oh, I know the mouse is here. Be totally silent, stop breathing, and he'll put his tail behind him. He'll crouch down and he'll focus onto the hole, give full attention to the hole. As soon as the mouse comes out, I'll catch the mouse. So in this, you don't take any breaths. The cat doesn't breathe. So from here, this is an example. As Junaid rahmatullah alayhi told us that the salik makes, has his position as well like this. That from Allah, he starts to ask from Allah. Then he opens all his holes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After opening the hole's exposure, and then he closes his eyes and his breath, and he stops everything, he closes his eyes, and he's waiting and sitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please give to me. And this is the position in which all the saliks, the students, get the irfan, the jalliyat, and the brilliance, and the illumination, the safat, come into the holes in the form of reward, thawab. So that the tajalliyat of Allah, the magnificence which is connected to Allah, the connection between Allah and His servant, these are called Sifat Asma. This is a new topic, I will explain this to you. Isma Sifat, the tajalliyat. What are they? So, at that time the tajalliyat, the brilliance, it comes onto the lataif, the lesson points of the student. And that time his marifat increases, his nearness to Allah increases. And as the tajalliyat come, and then he doesn't become mad, then he becomes more increased. And moreover, he involves himself in following the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He increases the sharia and sunnah. He goes to the high grade practice of sharia and sunnah in his life. Mukammal, totally becomes a religious and good, upright person, righteous person. And it's confirmed at that time. His batin attests that yes, I'm getting the reward of the sunnah. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love increases, Allah's love increases. And as it goes more inside, and it's not that you're going to see anything, but it's absorbed in inside you, your soul will be elevated, that your yaqeen faith goes to the heights in sharia and the deen. So it's the same thing, that you have to practice the sharia. That's the ultimate goal. So when you get to this position, you don't discard it, or you've gone beyond it. So this is called muraqabah. So this brief description I've just given to you, so whenever you sit in muraqabah, but this is muraqabah dhikr that we're doing. Yes, that is the real muraqabah, which is just solely muraqabah. There's a difference. So here what we're about to do now is practice during muraqabah dhikr. We're practicing that we'll get to the position that we'll stop doing dhikr, and we'll wait for the rewards during ultimate proper muraqabah. So right now we're just practicing to get there. So we can call this dhikr, khafi dhikr. It's not necessary that, sometimes we do say we're doing muraqabah, that do muraqabah, but it's just a term. But actual muraqabah is what I've described, the higher stage. So this is called dhikr, muraqabah. And in this, we are not waiting during this. Rather, what we're doing is that we're doing dhikr when we start, and our spark, our lessons, our lataif, we'll do dhikr on them in the position, in the shape, in the image of muraqabah, that you close your eyes and you're focusing on the heart. We're practicing for when we get our tawajjuh, our attention, we need to focus our attention and make it strong on our lataif, on our lesson point, so that our focus does not remove from there, so that when we arrive to the level to attain Allah's fares, then we've got complete practice that this tawajjuh, this attention, we can give full focus when we do proper muraqabah, that there's no thoughts, there's no desire of the dunya, just one desire, Allah Ta'ala's love, may I attain it on my lataif. So this is some technical terms and points that I've explained to you, of the points of tasawwuf, particularly, which is obviously in other silsilas, it's obvious, but they're different, the way they teach. But this is very obvious, it's clear, crystal clear in the Naqshbandiya order, tariqah. So alhamdulillah, we're going to now do muraqabah dhikr. And this, through this inshallah, we will do the act, the practice of dhikrullah that I always explain to you. What do we need to do here? Is that, as I've explained, muraqabah, what you do when you just do muraqabah. So in this muraqabah dhikr that we're going to do now, the way to do muraqabah dhikr is that your focus totally pointed towards the heart, your attention, and empty your heart of all thoughts and wasawis. We're practicing now, isn't it? The ultimate muraqabah. All the wasawis that come, negative thoughts come, eliminate them, then come towards dhikr. Then when thoughts come, get them out. It's not just that thoughts are coming that you sit up from dhikr. No, then you fail. You have to fight with the thoughts, clash with the thoughts. You have to bring your yaqeen again, the thoughts are coming again, different thinking, then eradicate the thoughts, then come towards dhikr. So this clash, to and fro, this clash, the to and fro, this struggle is mujahida, working hard whilst you're doing dhikr. And Allah gives a person progress, that how he's fighting and he's struggling with himself, with his nafs, with his desires, with his thoughts, to gain, to acquire the full closeness and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will carry on. Then a muqam of a person comes, that the thoughts have gone, then he is totally immersed in dhikr. So it happens, For an individual, whilst you do it, when you do it, your yaqeen increases, your belief increases, he's determined, and he has courage, and he carries on practicing. There's no limit in time, or years, or age when you will get this. As long as Allah Ta'ala enables you, keep on moving, keep on doing. Never think that on any stage that I am behind, others are ahead. No, all saliks are the same, all students are the same. And don't just think this, that somebody's a khalifa and he's progressed and reached and I'm behind. No. Rather, the murid, the student, is ahead of the khalifa, the deputy. Rather, ahead of all of them are the khadims, those who serve the khanka. Their stage is the highest. Their stage is beyond all of them. So, we can't be concerned with this, though, who's ahead, who's behind, everyone, that he's a khalifa and he's not this. No, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. That this is designation, a title that's given for some work due to some hikmah, wisdom. But in this, the saliks are all equal. The students are all equal. And Allah decides this, though, who is most of all close to me? Allah decides. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in this, don't lose hope, don't lose determination. He's attained khilafat, maybe he's gone higher, I'm less. No, it's not like that at all. No, you might be 100 times higher than that other person who's a khalifa, deputy, even though he doesn't know anything that you know, could be. So in this, nobody knows, nobody has the knowledge who has what status. Every student, every person should consider that I am the highest and respect the others whilst respecting the others. So consider that you've gone to the highest, but think that the others are higher than you, better than you, respect them. Yes, always you should consider others are better than you. Oh, he's very good, this person, and I should be like him as well. Not this, that I'm the highest. Don't think I'm the highest, I'm a khalifa, I'm the highest. No, and everyone should respect me, I've reached and I've acquired and I've got the levels. Why? Because in reality, the more that you are higher, you should lower yourself. This is the sign of a person who really has learned. The more high you are, then you'll submit. Lower yourself in front of others. The person who's arrogant in front of others, then he is the lowest. Really, he's the lowest. The tasawwuf will never teach you that you are better than others. It will always teach you to lower yourself. Humility. Humility. Simplicity. What a beautiful dua. What a great supplication. That Allah Ta'ala, please give me such sabr and shukr. Give me patience and being grateful. Put these qualities inside me that I lower myself in my own sight. Totally I'm low, I'm nothing. But in the eyes of the world, people, I'm respected. What a great dua. So this is a dua and this is a condition. This is a condition that whatever position you're in, even if you're high, you've acquired the levels, but within you should consider that I'm totally a waste of time and nothing, waste of space, I'm nothing at all. Slower yourself, humility. Not that I'm better than him, I'm better than this person. No. The more inside you, you consider yourself lower. Oh, I'm nothing at all. Rather, he may be so much, but within, I'm nothing, I've acquired nothing. Everyone, all this person is better than me. You are better than me, you are better than me. Yes? I always consider others greater than you, higher than you. Respect others in such a way that he should realize that he really does think I'm good, and he respects me and thinks that I'm better than him. This is the tasawwuf. So inshallah, I took a little bit of your time. So now we will do dhikrullah, and the method of doing dhikr is that we will close our eyes, and the latifa, the lesson that the shaykh has given to you, work on that and present that latifa in front of you, focus on that latifa, on that lesson, and then after that pay attention towards your heart, and the attention of the heart, focus it towards Allah. Your thoughts shouldn't go here and there. And what does it mean, the focus on Allah? That all of Allah's qualities, Allah's attributes, Allah's greatness, focus on that. And with your heart, empty it of wasawis, negative thoughts, and clean it. And with your tongue of your heart, say, Allah, Allah, Allah. Total focus, attention towards that for us. That even if we're not saying it, automatically our heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. We should train and teach it to get to that position. So inshallah, we'll start this dhikr now. And put your tongue on your palate, upper portion of your mouth. And remove all your thoughts, waswasas, from your mind, from your heart, and start thinking, full attention to your heart and heart's attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst reciting Allah's personal name, Ismi Zat, with the tongue of your heart, Allah, 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 Allah.